All right. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. December the 8th, 2025, 17 more days until the grand day of Christmas. I hope everyone's enjoying this time of the year. It is an exciting time of the year. I was thinking about it the other day. After Christmas, it really goes downhill. Well, I mean, New Year's, and then into January, right? And so, enjoy this time of year. It is awesome. We went out this weekend and got ourselves a good old-fashioned Christmas tree. Took the kids down, picked it, had it cut, loaded up, brought it home. And we put it in the house last night. It's really cool, and very excited. The kids were here, and they were excited, and I'm like, come on, let's get some pictures, you know, at Christmassy. but they were having fun, and it is a great time of the year. The kids love it. I love it. I shared the other day in the podcast how this is a financial insecurity time of year for me. And the other night, I was just like, you know what, man, just relax. Relax, and just enjoy it. Don't, you know, I can't. My buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're not smoking crack and paying for hookers, it should all work out. And I know I say that quite a bit, and I know that that's pretty extreme, but that's the reality, is that really my life is fine. Every day I can show up, and I have the opportunity to work and make money, and I'm grateful for that. And that's all because of recovery. And I thought I'd come upstairs, see if I could put something together for today. Just got home from a meeting, my Monday noon meeting. And it was great. Great reading. Nothing real unique about the story. There was, I guess this person that was sharing their story was gay. And it was sort of a gay person's perspective of early life as far as drinking and why one might drink if you were gay. And sure, yeah, I get it. I'm, it's all good. And of course, you know, a few people shared and started getting into the gay discussion and yada, yada, yada. And it was just kind of a little bizarre. But yeah, man, gay, not gay. You know, I shared in the meeting today, you know, I just cannot think about the days that I used to drink. They were too fun. Too much fun, too many good times. And today when I reflect, that's all I seem to remember. Even though I know amongst them great days, them good times, and all that fun were some bad times. And, you know, but I went to that hospital that night. And, you know, for some reason I was thinking about this. Had I not had stitches March 31st, 1997, had I just gotten my ass kicked without any blood or opening of flesh, I may still be out there today in worse condition than I was back then. But for some reason that night, I had to go interact with another human, and I was asked, do you think you have a drinking problem? And I was like, yeah, I do. And then I was asked, do you think you would like some help? And for some reason that night, I said yes. And I'm very grateful for that. Had that not happened, I don't know where I would be today.
Climb. place and I'll choose the time. And I'll climb that hill in my own way. Just wait a while for the right day. And as I rise above the tree line and the clouds, I look down. Hear the sound of the things you said today.
Pink Floyd, Fearless. Interesting, interesting. I don't know why. Coincidences, but for some reason, right? The other day I got into listening to a little bit of Pink Floyd. I think I used Mother in the podcast. And on my Spotify, I just brought up This Is Pink Floyd, right? Just gave me a big selection of Pink Floyd hits, I guess. Maybe more of the popular ones. I don't know. Because I was looking for that song and then ended up using it. And for some reason, I saw this song, Fearless, and I listened to it, and I was like, man, what an amazing song. Now, I don't know if it's the technology. I mean, you know, if you ask people, they say our phones listen to us, and everything's listening and stuff, but it has been interesting because since I decided that day to listen to that song, Fearless, the song keeps popping up. Now, granted, I've never really heard this song or even knew it existed, and quite honestly, the artwork on that album, I don't even know what album it's from. But for some reason, I heard it and I loved it. And then now in my YouTube, now a version of it with Billy Strings came up playing for Howard Stern doing the song. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to use it in a podcast. What a great song. Fearless, Pink Floyd. And I guess, I will tell you if I can. It's off of, I don't know what album it is. And I don't even know what the artwork is really. It looks like maybe a worm. I don't know. But anyway, great song, Fearless, Pink Floyd. But yeah, the meeting was great today. I'm, you know, the reading, you know, it's always, it happens a lot. It just always ends up being, you know, a drunkalogue. A lot of people sharing about, I remember. And like I said before, everything I remember was good. Like if I just went off my memories, I'd probably go back out drinking. At some point, you know, I've said this, you know, at some point I had to fall in love with recovery and sobriety and forget about the being afraid of picking up a drink again, because those memories are constantly fading. And so I don't like to talk about the past. I don't like to talk about my drinking history. I drank a lot and then I didn't. And for some reason that magical night happened where I ended up in the hospital. And for some reason I said yes. And here I am. But it could have gone the other way. I could have said no. I could have not needed stitches. I could still be out there drinking and being miserable. And luckily, it happened, and it is what it is. But, you know, I love the beginning. My story starts March 31st, 1997. And the one thing I remember, regardless of my drinking or if my non-drinking or my drugging and all that stuff, I was a human that really was pretty lost. You know, I think naturally, had I grown up in the woods, right, with no other human contact, I'm sure natural progression, I would have eventually, you know, began to mature and started to, you know, the natural path of life. But, you know, early on, I chose to drink and use drugs. And they say that's exactly when we stop maturing. That's why they always say, when I came in, I don't know, 29 or whatever, I was really a 15-year-old kid in a 29-year-old body. And so as far as the person that came in, whether how much I drank or drugged or used, I was an immature, lost human. And, you know, I've sort of been, I guess since the fact that I'm going to be celebrating my anniversary, I've been reflecting a little bit on, you know, just how much this program has taught me and just how much I've been available to be taught, right? You know, I think the first, you know, my first 4 years before I picked up again was really just a whirlwind. I had no clue. I don't remember, you know, I remember doing the steps. I remember nodding my head. I remember making a list. I remember going through all of the motions. But as a human, I just was unavailable. And you know, to pick up and drink. And, you know, I love when people say, I'm a first timer. Well, listen, I'm a first timer too. I haven't had a drink since my last drink. But those 4 years, there was a lot to be taught and a lot to be learned and a lot to reflect on. And so when I went back out, and I've said this, I needed to do that. I wasn't sure, you know, I don't even know if I came in with the right motivation, right? I said, yes, drunk. Being under the influence is what got me in that position. So I was still pretty lost. And so to drink after 4 years and then sort of, you know, bounce around, still going to meetings and finally getting back into the program, right? And then being dealt with that 2 years into it because of the pain pills I was taking, you know, still thinking it's prescribed under a doctor, right? It should be fine. Ignoring the fact of how much I would fantasize about filling that prescription, right? Fantasize about, you know, taking those drugs and sitting back with my eyes shut and just disappearing, you know. I never paid much attention to that. But having that all happen and unwind 2 years into recovery, my sponsor telling me, hey, man, this is where you need to change your sobriety date or you'll never find serenity, it was a real changing point for me, right? And then from the next 10 years after that, it was really about living with character defects. You know, of course, I sat down. We went through the 6 and 7. We wrote them all down, right? But to know, you know, I guess to hear them is one thing, but to live in them is another. And that's probably what I did for the first 10 years, just sort of, you know, not drinking, right? Coin surfing. You know, look at my coin. But my behavior was saying something different. But always being able to say, hey, I am sorry. I am in recovery, and you, sir, deserve an apology. And I'm sorry. And of course, early on, people were like, hey, man, I get it. No big deal. I accept your apology. But doing it over and over and still like having, you know, craziness all around me, my life in chaos, but still sober and doing that for about 10 years, right? And then probably from 10 to 15, sort of going, man, these character defects are really a thing. Like, you know, we've said sorry. People are even getting sick of hearing sorry from a sober person, right? And starting to understand that, man, I still feel bad. I still have fear. Actually, still, probably 10 years into it, starting to understand what fear was even about and the role that it even played in my life and what creates it. And then starting to understand this relationship, probably 10 years into it, I started to really maybe understand what a third step was. You know, to turn our will in our lives over to the care of a God of our understanding. That didn't make a lot of sense early on, but later on I started to understand. And I, you know, I've shared before the Joe and Charlie tapes, which I will say, just a quick side note, that new, I guess it's not a new app, but there's an app, Everything AA. If you download that app, it has meaning lists and it has all the literature. The only literature I just don't think it has is As Bill Sees It, but, it has the Joe and Charlie tapes on there. In fact, I'm going to open it up. And as I look down and I scroll down, I think it says right here, listen to the Big Book, the 12 and 12, and the Joe and Charlie tapes. I highly recommend if you're 5, 10, you know, if you're a professional sober person, right, go listen to the Joe and Charlie tapes if you haven't. They really opened up my eyes to changing my behavior, how my behavior reflects in my life, and how my behavior reflects in a relationship with God, and really what God is for me, right? Because I'd lived my life so long doing bad things that I had become numb to God, and I had become numb to caring. If you looked at me back then, back in my drinking days, you would look at me and say, that's a man right there that just does not give a shit. And I didn't. I didn't care. But, you know, probably year 10, between 10 and 15 years, I started to understand the reflection or the how my behavior reflects in my life, which reflects in how much fear I have, right? Because if I'm in fear, I'm not having a relationship with God. I'm having a relationship with the devil. And I'm like, whoa. Wow. Like, I haven't had a drink for a long time, but wow, that is news to me. Right? Because there's obviously, like I said the other day, it's the cherry on top. Take away the alcohol. That, in turn, took away a lot of bad behavior. But there was still more things I was doing in my life that created fear, that created worry. The question, am I going to get caught? Who's going to find out? And when I'm thinking who's going to find out, that is scary. That's not a relationship with God. And so in that, from 10 to 15, I started to understand this new relationship. And really, right, to me, God, a relationship with God is just a byproduct of me caring publicly and privately. I mean, I was great at caring publicly. Oh my God, can I help you with that, sir? Let me put my cart back. Let me make my bed, right? Let me pray before I go to bed. Let me thank God every night. You know, but what was the private stuff? You know, the flirting, right? Mostly flirting. I mean, that's usually what it ends up being. You know, like, I know better. I can't do that, but what happens if I just flirt? It's not illegal. It's still bad. Right, it still keeps us sick. It still creates fear. It's still living with a relationship with the devil. And so from 10 to 15 years, it's been really about trying to understand, look at all these character defects that I'm ignoring because I can make an amends. And then really in the last 2 to 3 years, right, 2 to 3 years, I've really started to become sick of my own bullshit. I'm sick of my bullshit. First, everyone around me becomes sick of my bullshit, right? And then I got to become sick of my bullshit. Because eventually, if I don't change my ways, God will become sick of my bullshit. And then I will have nothing. And then the voices and the demons and the wolves and all of these people will start to circle. And I'm doomed. So this year, you know, these last couple of years, really trying to understand, this is the things that you do, man. And instead of like doing them and making amends and being in fear, let's not do them anymore. And, you know, these are the things that usually you can't say, hey, honey, or hey, dear, or hey, mom, hey, dad, I decided to stop doing that. They'd be like, ooh, I didn't know you were doing that. Right? Because it's easy to say, hey, mom, dad, I'm not going to drink and drive anymore. Oh, thank God, right? Hey, mom, dad, dear, honey, I'm not going to drink and, you know, bang the freaking broom handle through the floor because my neighbors upstairs are too noisy. That's a good idea. Don't do that anymore, right? But it's all those little things, and I'm not going to name them, right? Because, you know, yeah, sure, flirting and cheating and all that shit is definitely in there, but there's a lot of other character defects that I do that aren't as, you know, relationship killing, but man, do they kill a relationship with God? You know, there's things that kills relationships with other humans, and then there's things that starts to kill the relationship with God. And, you know, I was set up, my guys came over this weekend, and of course we, you know, it was nice. They actually came over and we ended up hanging up a bunch of Christmas stuff and, you know, sort of hung out. But we did come upstairs and chat a little bit. But, you know, we talked about this character defects list that I got. And it's deep wide for sure. And the funny thing is that, and I'm going to read these. And so there's 11 character defects. Or I should say 11 groups. And so 1, self-centeredness and ego, right? 2, dishonesty. 3, fear-based defects. 4, anger and resentment. 5, control and perfectionism. 6, lust and excess. 7, avoidance and laziness. 8, jealousy and envy. 9, poor communication. 10, lack of boundaries. And 11, victim mentality. And you know what's fucked up about all of these is if I go through and under each one of those I just read. So number 1, self-centeredness and ego. Under it, right? Pride, arrogance, selfishness, self-pity, entitlement, vanity, ego inflation, insecurity. All of those I did in my first part of my recovery. But I wasn't drinking, right? I wasn't drugging, right? Number 2, dishonesty. Underneath that, lying, manipulation, denial, deception, hiding the truth, rationalizing bad behavior. I did all of those, and I could still do those. 3, fear-based defects, anxiety, cowardice, avoidance, distrust, overreacting, and catastrophizing. Guilty, right? Number 4, anger and resentment, right? Rage, bitterness, grudges, impatience, irritability, and passive aggressiveness. I can do those still. I'm going to celebrate in a couple weeks, and I can still do those things. Each one of these things keeps me from holding the hand of God because each one of those things create fear. 5, the control and perfectionism, right? Underneath, controlling behavior, perfectionism, obsession, fixating on other problems, not letting go. Man. Sober. Number 6, lust and excess. Lust, gluttony, greed, overindulgence, and compulsiveness. You know, I suffer from all of those. That's fucking that. All of those are fucking real right there. 7, avoidance and laziness, procrastination. I am the worst. And this time of year, I get even worse. I almost procrastinated on doing this podcast. I was like, maybe I'll do it later. I'm like, no, let's do it. Procrastination, laziness, apathy, inaction, and lack of follow through. Guilty, a guilty, 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 guilty. 8, jealousy and envy. Envy, jealousy, comparison to others, competitiveness, taking too far. Guilty, 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 right? I'm always comparing myself. Poor communications, number 9, below. Gossip, being overly critical. I'm gossiper. I gossip. Blaming, interrupting, not listening. Sarcasm used as a weapon, right? I've talked about sarcasm, but I did not talk about gossip, being overly critical, blaming, interrupting, and not listening. Number 10, lack of boundaries. This is below. People pleasing, guilty. Codependency, I'm getting better. Saying yes when you mean no, guilty. And letting others walk all over you, guilty. Right? It's easier for me. You know, this happens a lot. It can happen a lot in my marriage. You know, my wife's like, I want this done. And I'm like, that's bullshit, but I'm just going to say yes, right? Sometimes it's for the best. Sometimes I end up with a resentment. It's tough. Number 11 in the last one, blaming others. Oh, victim mentality. Blaming others for everything, right? Lack of accountability, helplessness, martyr complex, and expecting others to fix your problems, right? Guilty. It's crazy. And now I'm starting to pay attention. I could tell you that those things weren't really on my radar prior to the last really few months. So, you know, it's a, you know, these stories, we read them. And of course, everyone's sharing about the gay, right? I knew a gay guy. I knew I had a friend that was gay. It's like, it's not, it had nothing to do with it. I mean, yes, I can understand if you are a person that is gay, but tell you, it ain't easy being straight either, right? It is not easy being straight. But in the story, this person was gay and felt out, you know, shame, right, and guilt. And of course, they chose to drink to get rid of those. I get it. I understand that. But there's a lot of shame and guilt being straight too. So, you know, nobody gets a free ride. But the point of it all is that for me at least, is that I was such a immature human when I started drinking, and I was really immature when I came into this program. And what this program has been able to do, because I've chosen to use the program to do this, is teach me how to become an adult. Excuse me. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was going to happen. I thought being an adult was physical. Apparently, there's some mental, and there's some spiritual. And it's really cool, man. I just sometimes wonder, you know, of course, asked me a week ago, and I'm like, yeah, I'm doing really well. I'm really getting this, you know, recovery down, right? I've found serenity. I've got a relationship with God. You read those 11 character defects and all the shit under each one of them, and I'm like, I got a lot of work left. But what is a perfect person? Like, what would that, you know, fixing all of those, addressing, fixing them, never doing any of those again, what does that person look like? You know, because I also have to remind myself, I also want to have fun in my life, right? I shouldn't be sarcastic and I shouldn't be doing some of these things, but my God, you know, as a person in recovery right now, I already live a pretty boring life, you know, and I'm good with that. But boy, I don't know what it would be like to have fine-tuned all of those things. And man, I don't know. I'm not sure I'm ready for it all, but there's definitely things in there that I, and there's also things in there that I don't really know how to fix. You know, sometimes I say yes to things when I should say no. I don't know how to fix that. I mean, I could say no, but, you know, I also have to determine, is it worth, you know, the argument, right? Is it worth the silence? I don't know. I mean, in the end, I guess we don't want to go back to a place in our mind where we feel like drinking is an option. And if that happens, that means that I have reverted back to not caring. And like I said in the meeting today, I'll celebrate 17 years, and it's been a 17-year journey learning how to care again. And the last 3 years are really how to care again publicly and privately. And one day at a time, thank God, right? But yeah, it is Monday. That's what's going on. I thought I would come up and see if I could somehow get that out, and that sounded okay, so we'll just go with that. And let's see, let me read the daily reflections, and then I will let you go. I'm going to go pick up my daughter from school and take her out to get a hamburger. She's been asking me, Daddy, Daddy, can we get a burger? I'm like, no. And so my wife is actually going to, you know, my wife is funny because she goes, you know, she's got to get a root canal today, poor thing. And, you know, be grateful that we can do it, right? But she goes, you know, my anxiety's through the roof. And I go, you know, honey, it's not anxiety. You're just afraid, right? Because everything doesn't have to be a mental health issue, right? My wife loves to, you know, my brain, my, you know, I get my anxiety, my, and I go, this is not anxiety. This is just being afraid. And that's okay, right? It's all right to be afraid. But don't try to make having a root canal become a mental health issue, right? We're not that fucking weak, man. Sometimes we're just afraid because they're going to drill and they're going to give us a shot and that's going to hurt and that is scary. But we're not having a mental health issue. This isn't, you know, we're not mentally sick because we're afraid to get a root canal. You know, we can talk ourselves into being a fucking nutcase. And we don't need to do that. You're afraid. I'm afraid. Say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of that needle. I'm afraid of that drill. And I'm afraid of all that stuff. But you are not having a mental health issue. Yell at me. All right. Let's see here. Daily reflections. Oh. Let's see what we can find. Daily reflections. All right. December 8th. Service. Oh, very good topic. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. Frequent contact excuse me, frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 89. It is through service that the greatest rewards are to be found, but to be in a position of offering true, useful, and effective service to others, I must first work on myself. This means that I have to abandon myself to God. Yes. Admitting my faults and clearing away the wreckage of my past. Work on myself has taught me how to find the necessary peace and serenity to successfully merge inspiration and experience. I have learned how to be, in the trust sense, an open channel of sobriety. Yeah, that's great. Hey, I hope everyone's having a great day. I appreciate you letting me share, and I'll catch you later. Bye.
Every day is the right day.